flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do we know whose birthday it was?
I think it was a collective birthday celebration. I think each month they do all the birthdays. They gather everyone who's a January birthday here at the Atlanta United training facility in Marietta. And so it was kind of for everybody who had a birthday. They had cupcakes for everybody.
Man, that's nice.
That's a nice thing.
That's a classic.
We used to do the same thing on my other radio station, which is we do it at the Cheetah.
Well, it's a little different animal.
Yeah, we have cupcakes and, you know, some steak tips and stuff and
that's,
all that.
Yeah, that's a different animal.
But but they have a nice birthday vibe here. And it's funny because during the break, Mike, who does is one of the guys, does a great job maintaining the fields and all the landscaping here. He comes up to us, goes, big listener of the station, and he goes, "You guys should get one of those cupcakes." And I said, "Nah, man, my wife's got me cutting sugar." He goes, "Yeah, I heard. He listens to the show." And Carl goes, "I don't have those issues.
I'm not."
And
I'm
now
not.
Carl is eyeing these cupcakes with bad intent.
Yeah, and look, here's the reality of where I'm at. I am going to be getting back on my game for 2025. But let me tell you what happened.
Is this the continuation of Black Ice, what we saw on TV the other night?
No.
The new Carl Dukes 2.0.
Let me tell you what happened. This snow is the worst thing that could ever happen.
Yes.
Because it gave me a reason to fall into old habits. Right. I'll have a cocktail.
Right.
I'm going to go ahead and snack all day because we were at home.
What were you sipping on yesterday?
I didn't have anything yesterday, but last week when we were doing the show, so my point is the new year comes, right? And I'm like, hey, just like everybody else, let's go, new year. And then it snows and I'm like home for this day. And then this week we've been home twice and I'm like, so I got to get back on my grind Monday. Monday is my official. The month is over.
Monday
is my official day to start. So today I'm having some of this cupcake. Yeah.
I try to support the liquor industry in the States because this dry January is a bunch of horse crap. So I get it in.
I love it. No sugar, but dry January for me.
Yes, no way, man. So yesterday was funny because I'm like, I'm not going to start till 5 o'clock. You know, wait, Jimmy Buffett, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
What'd you have?
I had a Maker's. It's like a sugar-free ginger that Canada Dry makes. So it's just a splash of ginger. You don't want to take the taste of the bourbon out.
I will tell you, that bottle you got me is gone. Does that make me a bad guy?
Dude, is that not the greatest ever?
It was really good. Well, Michelle was making like mixed drinks with it that day that she opened that bottle.
It's a high-end limited edition from Las Vegas. Pretty neat.
It was great. But this is my issue. So, hey, snow go away, cold go away, all right? I don't want to be stuck at home. I want to get back to my grind, but that's why I'm going to eat this cupcake. What is this, by the way?
It looks great.
It does.
Well, it's like Dukes and Bell. One's vanilla, one's chocolate. By the way, we got our new Slim as our new engineer today. His Jersey Mike is about to shuttle out of the job, and he's going to be working in New York for our same company. So Eric is his real name, but Slim has been working on the V103 side. Real quick before we get to the 4th and 1, it's pretty funny because the middle of the show he goes, "So who's Dukes and who's Bell?" He goes, "You know, they told me for weeks I'd be working with Dukes and Bell." He's like, Is that a restaurant? Is that like Whole Foods? Is it like Ben and Jerry's? So, obviously, just one floor down. But apparently, they're not really familiar with Dukes and Bell. We do the sports talk on the ninth floor. So, I was busting his chops because he's working with Tigga and everybody down there, Craig Street. And so, like, literally 5 minutes into the show, I looked at him and said, "We work over here on 92.9. We're talking for 5 hours.
He was dead serious, too. Who is Dukes and Bell? Bro, you looking at him.
And I said to him, I go, "We always line it up so it's left to right. So, it's Dukes over here. my belt.
All right, man. It is. We are live at the Atlanta United training grounds. Hey, by the way, if you missed it, we are going to get a chance to talk to our buddy Brad Guzan. Mm-hmm. Ronnie Dyla, the new manager, is going to join us too in the 5 o'clock hour. So we'll get the latest on what's going on out here. And no news. All right, 17s Atlanta United fans to report about Miggy. At least not yet.
No, there's a lot of buzz about Miggy. I mean, this has been a slow burn. Here we are. It's the 23rd, and the rumors started like 5 days ago in earnest that Miggy was going to be coming back. It makes a lot of sense. He fits the needs. We need some designated players. We've got money to spend. Also, guys, we've got – now, I've been butchering the name, but is it Latte Loth, the kid from England who is from Cote d'Ivoire?
Was that a fake report or was
no, it? That's apparently Jason. Jason Longshore is going to pop in here later.
Okay.
And we'll talk about guys that could be on their way here that would really have an impact. It's late in the game. I don't know how quickly we'll talk to the new manager about how do you implement, because before you know it, the season starts here.
It's going to happen pretty quickly. All right, man, we got a lot more to get to. Also, Big O, you got Yeah Man, No Man today? Back at the studio? All right, can't wait to see what he's going to talk about. Right now, let's get to 4th and 1. So Patrick Mahomes goes on the radio station in Kansas City, does a weekly with them, 96.5 The Fan, and was asked about the controversial officiating. So this is what he said about it as they get ready for the AFC Championship game. And then I'm going to let you hear him talk about the fact that, you know, there's too much trying to get the call on the sidelines that's, you know, helping the situation kind of create its own monster. Patrick Mahomes on 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City.
I've kind of learned that no matter what happens during the game, that something's going to come out or about if you win and you continue to win. So I don't really pay attention to it. I mean, obviously, I've been on both sides of it as far as how I felt the calls were made. But at the end of the day, man, those guys are doing their best to make the best calls and keep it to where the players are making the plays in the game, and that's what decides the outcome. And there was a call here or there that people didn't agree with. But at the same time, I think there was a lot of other plays that really decided the outcome of that football game.
Yeah, I think the Texans made too many mistakes,
but
I also think he did a hell of a job acting, Mike.
No, but it was still, like, and I know that guys are still in their bag who had the Texans to cover. I mean, or had the Chiefs, I should say, to cover, and they run out of the back of the end zone to be a little safe at the end of the game, and Andy Reid takes the safety. But it just, you've had at least off the top, or right off the top of your head, you can think of, like, okay, start with the first week, us. You know, start with that game where we had the no pass interference call. You know, like, I know it was not a great throw from Cousins to Pitts, but that certainly was a play we could have had week 2, actually, I should say. Pittsburgh was week 1. Week 3, it was Pittsburgh, Eagles, Kansas City. We had that one. You had the Kansas City Chargers game. You had the Bengals game. There's a bunch of games where the pass interference, no calls, hits. We've seen it in the past. It's become a thing so much now. It's everyone just, they roll their eyes now. I go, Kansas City and the league taking care of them. The NFL doesn't want those optics. So let's make sure you do have the best crew, and they don't give Patrick any preferential treatment that Brady got, because fans don't want to see that. They don't want to hear about the Jordan rules in the NFL.
No, you don't. You want to make sure everything is on an up and up and a fair playing field. Mahomes said he did too much trying to get the call on the sideline. This is him talking about it again on 96.5 The Fan. This was a call everybody was like, really? You're going to call that? Here's Mahomes talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the only one I felt like I probably did too much was the one on the sideline where I didn't get a flag and the ref saw it and didn't throw a flag, and I understood it immediately and know that I probably shouldn't have done that. But at the same time, the one that everybody's talking about where I fell down, it's like I was just trying to get out of the way of getting smoked by the defensive lineman running. So I'll try to keep doing that and not take those hits, because that's the smart way to stay in the football game.
Well, I mean, if somebody from Kansas City knocks Josh Allen's block off by doing that fake slide that he did a couple of years ago, okay.
Yeah.
I want to see – then if I'm the – you know what? If here's where it gets ugly, and this goes back about 30 years. We don't see this NFL anymore.
Take him out.
Someone's going to knock Patrick Mahomes' block off.
Take him out.
You start pulling that jive at the sideline, put you on your keister.
Yeah.
Can't do it, because the way the NFL looks, man, hell, you might get the death penalty, man. You'd be going to Sing Sing for that. But it's just – that's why I think – and Patrick knows. That's why he said, well, yeah, you know, that one where – yeah, because it looked like a – move. It was very uncool.
It was. Meanwhile, Ben Johnson's the new head coach of the Chicago Bears. This is a part of his press conference yesterday when he was talking about the plan to win is win now.
Get comfortable being uncomfortable. The bar has been set higher than it's ever been set before. The only way for this team and for you as individual players to reach your potential is to be pushed and to be challenged. And that's exactly what I and my staff plan on doing. Our mission starting this spring is to win and to win now.
So, Mike, what about Caleb Williams? He says, I thought this was interesting. Are you saying you don't like what they have on offense? He says they're going to strip this offense down and build around Caleb. I think he's got some great skill guys. They got to get an offensive line.
Yes, that's the thing. You got to, he was running for his life. And I thought, I'm punching up the Bills' depth chart, right? The Bears' depth chart. They've got to protect the quarterback. The defense, they've got elements. They've got pieces that they've added. I mean, it hasn't all been bad from Ryan Poles. No. He has drafted some good pieces. Look, he was famous for famously taking Chase Claypool and a couple of moves that didn't make any sense. I mean, you did the Steelers a favor by giving him a second rounder, which is basically on the cusp of the first round. But, yeah, the offensive line has really got to get straightened out. Cole Kmet, Roma Dunze. I know that D.J. Moore still has certainly stuff left in the tank.
Well, they just gave him a new deal.
Keenan Allen was very inconsistent because he's at this stage of his career where he's not the same guy. But, I mean, they've got pieces, the point you just made. They've got a decent defense that gets after it. So they just happen to be in the toughest division in football. So, okay, you want to compete now. But, I mean, the real interesting question for me is how does Dan Campbell restock? Is the next man up? Is he going to work with Ben Johnson or Aaron Glenn? Or is he going to, you know, is he going to stay in Detroit? This is where teams get sideways when you lose that brain drain from the coaching staff sometimes.
No doubt. Here is Ben Johnson on Caleb Williams and his talent.
There's no doubt Caleb played a large component into my decision. He is a phenomenal talent that had, as many quarterbacks do, an up and down rookie year. Where I see my role is as a supporter of him. This offense will be calibrated with him in mind. We're going to build this thing. This is not simply a dropping of a previous playbook down on the table and starting there. Nope. We're ripping this thing down to the studs, and we're going to build it up with him first and foremost, and then with the pieces around him next. I really look forward to challenging him and pushing him to continue to grow and develop.
Yeah, man, the idea that Brian Flores, who did a great job, certainly we thought, again, reinvigorating the perception, whatever you thought happened down there in Miami, and he's certainly going to get a shot at some point. But, yeah, I think the Tua thing scared the Bears about him coming in there and being like, Tua, and Tua didn't help him. He was a bully. He was really mean. Well, you got to love up Caleb Williams. I think he's that kind of guy. I think he's pat on the back, not a kick in the butt guy.
I do, too. Let's hear from Tom Brady, Mike. He says he wants to stay in the booth. It's our 4th-and-1 segment, guys, brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Brady, how long do you want to be in the booth?
I got 9 years left on my deal, and maybe longer. You never know. If Fox wants me, then I want to go. We'll just keep going because it's been really fun thus far.
Yeah, not exactly fun for the viewer. as we said, I think his information is solid, and sometimes, yes, tell me what it's like to be Tom Brady. I'm cool with that. If this quarterback can't do it, but you're seeing something he doesn't, I still want to hear your analysis. But not having that, and some guy I was arguing on Twitter goes, what's the big deal about these weekly meetings? Well, you get to see what the other team's doing. You get to know what's going on behind the scenes. When they drop a play in there, you saw it at practice.
That's right.
Offensive coaching staff talks. That's what they do in those meetings that Tom Brady can't have. He cannot actually step foot on another team's playing facility because he's a minority owner of the Raiders.
All right, one last thing, Mike. Nick Saban, you know him and Dion do those commercials together.
Yes.
We are still wondering. Yes, we are still wondering what the Cowboys are going to do. They've not hired anybody yet. Schottenheimer's a candidate. We know Kellen Moore.
Right. Schottenheimer's so Cowboys-y. So Cowboys-y.
That doesn't get anybody enthusiastic. It just doesn't. No. But Nick Saban, he was on the Pivot podcast. That's Ryan Clark's podcast. And he said he'd love to see Dion get that job.
Coach, you're still one of the best in the world at this. You can't just hang it up, man.
I did.
You're done?
There's a job open in Dallas.
There's on all levels. There's college jobs and NFL jobs. Hell, I'll get you a job down here.
I want him to get that job.
I'll get you a job down here, coach, to high school if you want to, coach.
Yeah, man, he's done. Saban is completely shut down. Him and Miss Terry on the lake, on the beach, that house that he rents out there on those commercials for VRBO. Make me laugh every time.
long showers.
No, that's a rule. But no, Dion, it sounds like that's a lot of fodder for Jerry to make some headlines before he eventually does decide to do something really predictable, like go with the guy who can't fix Dak Prescott in the big games, the guy that was on the outline as the offensive coordinator when you get humiliated by the Packers and you fire McCarthy, you don't renew McCarthy, and you bring him back. Now, look, I get the argument against, guys saying Ulbrich is a piece that makes sense because it fits what Ra's doing, and you don't bring someone in to shock the system if you're the Falcons. If you're live, if your job is on the line in just second season, you got to go with somebody who knows what you're doing. I get that. But if you're the Cowboys, if ever there's a team that needs a shock to the system offensively,
they do.
It's Dallas.
They do.
McCarthy, they hit the wall there, and you're going to bring Brian Schottenheimer is the most uncompelling hire, but that's slightly less compelling than Kellen Moore.
It is. And look, the Kellen Moore thing, at least he had success there as an OC. The Schottenheimer thing, I'm sorry. And listen, wasn't he at Georgia for a while?
He was the one year, the last year of Mark Richt.
That's right.
And it was not memorable.
No, it wasn't. All right, man, we got more to get to. Are you buying the Hawks as a legitimate playoff contender? I know what happened last night. But there are some really good things that make you say, they may have a shot. We'll get into that. Yeah, man, no man's on the way. We're live at Atlanta United's training grounds. It's Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Hawks back at it tonight. They cannot shoot the ball any worse than they did last night. I mean, seriously. They play Toronto tonight. They'll play Toronto again on Saturday. And, Mike, you know, we've been talking about this Hawks team and are they a legitimate contender when we talk about being a top four seed. We've been saying this, guys. There's literally a three-game difference
right
now from spot seven in the Eastern Conference all the way up to the fourth spot, okay? It's not that big of a deal. It's not like they got to, you know, run down seven or eight games. They've beaten the Cavs twice. You've beaten Boston twice. You've beaten the best three teams in this conference and New York twice already. You know that they're capable. A seven-game series, obviously, is a different animal. But I also think last night, Mike, when you shoot 16% from three-point land, you're not going to beat anybody.
No. Now, you could argue that just burn that game tape, and that's just the ultimate outlier. And maybe they were preoccupied with getting to the arena or the cold weather or whatever. My pipe burst. I don't know. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that in any of the post game. But yeah, that was arguably the worst game of the season, shooting wise. This team is still getting outscored by just a tick under 3 points a game. So that they got to flip that out because everybody else who's above them has even. It's funny, the Pistons are literally just percentage half a point as far as difference between what opponents score and what they score. I thought the Pistons have done such a nice job of turning things around so quickly. Watch out for Cade Cunningham. They had a bunch of worker bees that were doing the work, and there was physicality last night. I'm not saying you couldn't win a game in the playoffs, but it had a playoff like sense of if you get pushed around in the paint, if you're giving up uncontested baskets and layups like they were, anybody starts just clanging stuff, you're just allowing these guys to get points in the transition. Just ugly stuff, man. So I would love to get one bigger body. You cool with trading Bogey if somebody would have him? Are you going to do a point of frustration with Bogey?
I am.
Having his worst shooting season as a Hawk?
Well, and I don't know what the reason is. You know, we talk about this all the time, right? When it was Kirk Cousins, we said, is he injured? Then we found out at the end of the season, he wasn't injured. So what's going on with Bogey? Is he tired? Is his body a little banged up? Is he tired? 0-for-9 from the field. He's missed his last 14 shots over 3-plus games. So it's anybody can have a bad game. But Bogey's been such a consistent shooter. What I'm telling you is, a three-game stretch, and he hadn't hit a three? He's 4-for-29 from three-point range? That doesn't make sense. Against the Knicks on Monday night in MLK game, Mike, he didn't knock down a three. He was 0-for-4. And we're like, okay, what's going on? I said it to begin the show. He's becoming a liability. I don't know. If you ask me right now, would I be more prone to maybe try to move on from Bogey or Capella? Because to your point, what are you going to get? The Capella thing, he's coming off the bench now. That's another game where he didn't start.
And Okongwu got banged up last night, too.
He did. And so you're seeing, they're splitting minutes. But if you're caught up in who's starting.
Technically, it's 0-0.
Correct. I'm more about trading Bogey right now.
Yeah.
If you're going to make a move.
The only reason, we said this earlier, if you guys remember, taking all the way back, and what happens when you've got a guy on an expiring contract? Well, usually you either move him like Al Horford. You should have moved Al Horford.
Right.
And maybe that goes back to the dysfunction of the front office back then. But you can't just generally let a guy walk and not get something for him. That's the logic behind it. So if you feel – now, again, I'm not saying move Capella just to move him, but – if you could get something for him that strengthens you in the front court, you have to give. It's not just going to be Clint. You're going to have to give draft picks.
Yes.
You're going to have to give. There might be somebody. There's untouchables. You said it. We're never moving Jalen Johnson. There's a bunch of guys you're not getting. DeAndre Hunter. Remember last year they couldn't trade DeAndre Hunter. Now this year you're not getting DeAndre Hunter.
And you're not trading Dyson Daniels.
No. He's been the secret sauce on the defensive side. Last night, though, he couldn't do anything with Cade. That was brutal against Cade Cunningham.
The concern is, and again, I'm making this correlation to Kirk Cousins. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Only because when we start talking about career low, season low.
Not passing the eye test.
Bogey shooting 30% from three-point land. It's a career low from three-point land this season. So is that and we say this about Cousins. Oh, well, you know, he's going to snap out of it. Okay, well, maybe Bogey does. He's got a lot more games to do that. We know. But it's a little bit concerning, Mike. And I'll say this, too. Body language, man. The body language is not, I'm ready, I'm coming in, I'm gonna ball out, I'm going to help my team. The body language is almost like I'm not getting the minutes that I need to get. I don't know what's going on there. I just think there's something happening, and he's not producing the way
he should. Well, we always joke around. If it's a back-to-back, you know Bogey's not playing. I mean, we've always said he's got, like, we love the guy. I mean, he's one of our favorite interviews when we get a chance to talk to the dude.
He is.
But he just can't stay healthy. And 8 games in the month of January, he's shooting 23.9 from the arc.
That's not getting it done.
Man, that's like painful. So you get into, you know, what would be the market for Bogey? Your team needs a shooter off the bench. You know, that piece which kind of you complete me. That would be interesting to see. But, yeah, go back and look at it. He just doesn't remotely come close to playing the games you need him to play.
No.
And you said it. One of the cool things that was happening earlier this year was the fact that everybody was staying healthy. But look at him. I'm looking right now. 44, 63, 54, 79. A year ago, he played 79 games, which is great. But now this year, he's back to what his average has been. It's going to be less than 60.
It is. And that's the other concern. Long term. I mean, guys, our nucleus is still very young with Dyson and JJ. You start talking about guys, you know, 20, 21, 22, 23. You're trying to build around that. I just feel like right now, if you're going to get better, and this has reared its ugly head, Mike, at a terrible time. Like, we need Bogey to be scoring right now, and now he's in this slump. If I'm an NBA team, are you just you're dismissing that? Because even if you had him on the block, if I'm another team that's interested in making a move with the Hawks, I'm looking at this going, what am I getting in return?
Right. And then I said to Carl to start the show, I don't know. I'm just saying. We've seen guys, he's 32, and he has a problem with, you know, staying healthy, and he played in the Olympics. So he had that extra wear and tear and all the work that went into that, and he was playing his butt off.
I do think
for
it's
Serbia.
Fair. We don't know, but I think it's fair.
We have seen other NBA players over 30 hit the wall or have issues in subsequent years coming off the Olympics.
Yeah, and then you're saying, well, what about LeBron? Well, LeBron's a different dude.
Right. By the way, the Lakers are in the same boat as we are, by the way. See, other teams score more points than them.
Yeah.
They've kind of been just, you know, just when you think they've turned the corner, they step back. Last night was a backslide. That's a backslide moment for the Hawks. Tighten that up.
Tighten it up. February 6th, by the way, 3 o'clock is the trade deadline. That's the date we'll be looking to. And I know it sounds like, oh, it's a few weeks away, guys.
It's going to be here before you know it.
Man, it was just January 1st. I told you this diet hadn't started yet. I mean, come on. You got to get on this right now. You can't be waiting in last minute and go, oh, February 6th, that's a few weeks away.
So February 6th, that when Black Ice is going to start carving it up?
No, man, I'm starting Monday, Mike. And by the way, I had half of this cupcake. Is anybody in here? I don't want to. It was I.
By the way, I was talking real quick. I got to give a shout out. I should have started the show with this because we were having fun. So, Carl, we wore this outfit last Saturday on FanDuel Sports, and it was commented by Oren, who's back at the ranch. It was a unique look. Carl, you know, your own style. That's what I love you, man. So, you had the sport coat, had the 3-quarter zip, and you had those yellow shades on, man.
Yeah.
And so my boy Dimitri at the gym.
They are prescription glasses.
My boy Dimitri at the gym today said, yo, man, what's Black Guy's going to rock next? Turtleneck with a vest?
Good. You know what? Y'all tune in. You tune in Saturday and you see for yourself.
Hey, Oren, it's going to be a vest, but it's going to be the vest with no shirt underneath, just the vest by itself.
Oh, I'm gonna let my hamburger meat show, huh?
Hey, man, Oren, should we see Carl? We got to get Cam Newton on the horn and get one of Cam's hats.
Oh,
I want to see Carl rocking one of those lids.
I love Cam's hats, man. Here's the deal. Not everybody can rock those hats.
No. I'm not sure Cam can at times.
This is not a knock on Cam, but like you got to have a sizable noggin to rock those. And that's
a big head.
You got to have a big head. You got to have a dome. And that's not a knock on Cam. Just you got to have something to fill that hat with.
You got to have like a Tommy Lee Jones size, like basketball head to do that, man. You're right. The big star actor's got the big heads.
Hey, man, hit us up. We want to know what you think about the Hawks, 404-726-0929. The trade deadline, as we approach, we'll be getting more information about who's on the block. But I think our man Brian Geltziler came on yesterday and said, if you could go get Zach LaVine and add that scoring.
Yes.
Right? Because we do have picks to
give
up.
I like that idea.
I do, too. And you give up some picks and maybe make a move with somebody on your bench or your team that you're willing to part ways with. To me, that improves the Hawks tremendously heading into the playoffs and certainly down the stretch.
Do you have any problem? Whatever picks we have, do you have a problem moving for? I mean, they're so negligible at this point.
Well, remember, we fussed, and rightfully so, because it wasn't worth it. But we fussed about the 3 picks for DeJounte Murray. We got those back. right? In the Dyson deal, we ended up getting a couple of picks back. So all of a sudden now, to your point, Mike, and again, I hate to say this, like, unless you got the number one overall pick and it's Wimby,
no, I mean,
those guys don't come in and help you immediately.
Utah and Phoenix traded, and it was like a 2031 pick. Like, what, yeah. I couldn't even, as you like to say, where the hell am I going to be in 2031?
And nobody right. knows. But yeah. but I also think for Phoenix, they're trying to stockpile
Correct.
Picks to move Bradley Beal. That's right. what that's about. I think they want to say, we'll not only trade Beal, we're willing to give you these picks.
Get them off the books.
Yeah, along with it.
And Jimmy Buckets, apparently, while we're talking some NBA, he gets suspended, also missed the plane. Apparently, there was a reschedule with some weather. Everyone's saying, like, he didn't miss no friggin' plane. He knew what time the plane was leaving. That's a blank U to Riles. Pat Riley can't wait to get rid of him. But that situation is just...
How does this thing get so sour, by the way?
It started, you know, and I said this to you a million times. When he was playing in Minnesota, the time in Chicago... He was a guy that seemed like a tough guy in attitude. You know, the famous story goes to the Sixers, basically tells them all in the locker room, you guys are a bunch of losers. You know, I kind of like what he reps. I thought, you know, because a lot of guys would just shut it down the year he had the bad knee.
Yep.
But he helped Minnesota. And that was a long time ago. But he's just become, I don't know, maybe Miami, you play in Miami long enough, you become a black hole. I don't know. Talk to Tyreek Hill. I don't know. But it's a shame because I've always been a fan of the guy, and now he just seems like a major diva.
Yeah.
And Riley's the one. What was last year as the season was winding down and he was talking smack about who the Heat were going to play, and Riley's like, if you're not on the floor, you shouldn't be talking about anybody. And that apparently was an issue that things got going sideways.
It did. All right, man. We got a lot more to get to. We're live at Atlanta United Training Grounds. Again, Brad Guzan is going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour. Ronnie Dyla, the new manager of our club, is going to join us as well. But when we come back, Big O's got Yeah Man, No Man next. Mark Andrews has put out a statement in regards to him dropping the ball. Saying, and I'm just going to read a little bit of this. We'll get into more of this because, Mike, you know he's been getting killed.
Yeah.
He says, it's impossible to adequately express how I feel. I'm absolutely gutted by what happened on Sunday. I'm devastated for my teammates, my coaches, and Ravens fans. And then he goes on. This is a long statement. He goes on to talk about a bunch of different things and his thoughts and addressing this publicly. And so we'll get into this. But this is the first time we've heard from him. Guys, he did not do post-game interviews. He is, and this is the crazy thing. I mean, and you can say he was hurt and all that,
right.
But you left your teammates to answer questions about something that happened in this game regarding yourself. So what I'm telling you is he drops that 2-point conversion, game ends, he's nowhere to be seen. They clean out their lockers, okay? He didn't stick around. Ravens had a day just like the Falcons where everybody's up there. He didn't speak to the media. So this is the first time he's addressed anything.
Right. Now, Jesse Bates also kind of skated the last game, but we have certain respect, and Ravens fans have a certain amount of respect for Mark Andrews, who knows, like, he's feeling like it's like, you know, you think about that, remember the Vernon Lundquist call, man. Oh, Jackie, bless his heart, he's got to be the sickest man in America. Dropped a touchdown for Roger Staubach, would have tied the game against the Steelers back in the day in the Super Bowl. One thing's kind of interesting, Bills fans, and some would say this is kind of a backhanded slap on the back. Either way, they raised $25,000 for the GoFundMe through Breakthrough T1D. It's a type 1 diabetes research and advocacy organization that Mark Andrews has been associated with. So everyone who plays in the NFL has got one or two charities they're involved with or nonprofits, and he's involved with this. So Bills fans, you know, feeling bad for Mark Andrews or just whatever, or saying thank you for the win, they do raise $25,000 for a great cause. See, I go back to it and say, look, Lamar Jackson held the ball like a loaf of bread, put it on the ground. He also threw a pick that was terrible and ill-advised, whether the receiver, you know, shortened up the route or what happened. But, I mean, there's two turnovers from the QB. And Mark Andrews, you know, fumble, his hit, and, of course, the drop. It is what it is. But it's an entire game, just like when we talk about Coach Raheem and not understanding how the clock should be run at the end of that Commanders game that puts you in that position. But, yeah, Mark Andrews, man, and you get the feeling, man, are these guys going to be snake bit? You know, like the old Baltimore Colts were? You know, this team has won a Super Bowl. They won two.
Two.
But you wonder, is Lamar Jackson going to get to that Super Bowl?
Yeah. He says in this statement, this is on Insta, by the way, he says, I will not let this define me.
Right, right.
All right, more on that coming up. Let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. T- Turtle is out sick. Hope you're feeling better today, man. I know you woke up feeling like crap. So drink a lot of fluids. Meanwhile, Big O is back at the studio hanging out. What you got for us, man?
To your points about that Mark Andrews thing, the media, that's the story right now on the talk shows, him not speaking with media afterwards.
Yeah,
I understand the narrative around that. What I don't like and I don't understand is something related to that. I don't know if you saw this. His girlfriend had to turn her comments off on Instagram because of all the hate that she was getting related to that. Like, I don't like when people go after people on social media to begin with. Like, it's very, very low. Like, you become that keyboard warrior. Like, you're just this anonymous face behind, you know, how many ever firewalls or just layers of security, so that person will never know you're talking about them. But, like, going into people's families, that's just like, I don't under, because you can't get at that person. I'm going to go at, I'm going to send some comments to your girlfriend now just so she recognizes and understands the pain I'm feeling about something you didn't like. Dude, let it go, man. Let it go. It's not worth all that.
No, that's just brutal. Travis Hunter went through that. You know, saw what his lady friend looked like.
And yes.
Just like there's so many. Just and Squidbilly says it all the time. Internet cesspool. And it just is. I mean, there's folks out there that just, and you got to consider where they're coming from. It's like that Eagles fan that got booted from the stadium. Just a lot of just miserable people out there. Unfortunately, you know.
There are, Mike. And listen, it's easy for us, to sit here and say it's childish and talk about all the things that are so wrong about it. Mm. The problem is we are in this pile-on society. And when things like this happen, people, they don't even care about the Ravens. Pile on. They want their pound of flesh, right?
Exactly.
They want people to – and that's the fundamental problem. And I got to tell you guys, like, you know, when I got into sports, like when I got started covering this thing and I started at a young age – The cool thing about it was that none of these athletes heard from anybody pretty much outside of the media who would criticize them in the town they lived in, and more than likely their teammates. Now you got some jerk, you know, in Europe sending a message because he feels like he has to say something, and, you know, he wants everybody to know how he feels. And to Mike's point, a lot of these people don't even exist. They hide behind their social media handles, man. It's a joke.
Right.
So I feel for his girlfriend. And I would hope that people would have more class than that, but I just know better now. I mean, like, I'm not going to sit here and act like, we live in a society that, things should be better. They should be, but they're not.
No. And by the way, you know, Lamar, is Lamar going to be like Peyton? Is going to be 10 years before Lamar gets the Super Bowl?
Ooh.
You know, I mean, at some point, that talent and, you know, that group of players and
starts to fade.
Windows. I mean, I thought that the Buffalo Bills might take a step back. They're not this year because they got the great quarterback. But, yeah, it was Peyton's came in the league in 98. He won the Super Bowl in 2007.
Yep. Long time, man.
Yeah,
I'm with you, Big O. That's a big no, man, for me, man. Don't go after guys' wives, girlfriends, kids. Guy played his heart out. He dropped the damn ball. It happens.
Yeah, he'll be back next year, and he'll try to rectify that mistake and not let it happen again. But yeah, just this is the moment to sort of just be better, people.
I mean, Buffalo's Norwood missed the field goal wide right.
Yeah,
same thing he went through. He didn't have to deal with social media because it was 1991.
Can you imagine that now?
No.
If he missed the field goals in those games that he missed then.
Oh, imagine what Florida State fans would have done to the various kickers with the wide rights one and two and then, all that stuff. Yeah,
absolutely right. He finally did it, guys. After all the speculation and talk and just back and forth, Bill Belichick has finally signed that UNC contract. Finally put his name on the dotted line. So we don't have to worry anymore about whether or not he's going to take a job this offseason. You know, it may happen in the future. But at least this year, Bill is going to be committed and dedicated to advancing the cause of North Carolina football. We got some numbers here, guys. Some numbers for bonuses that Bill's going to get if he achieves various things. He gets $750,000 for being a participant in the CFP, $1 million if UNC makes the quarterfinals, $1.25 million if they make the semifinals, $1.5 million for making the championship game, and $1.75 million for winning the championship game. This is where it gets interesting, though. He gets kind of bonuses just for UNC being remotely relative. He gets a cool $250K if they finish the top 25 at the end of the season, $300K. For a top 20 finish, $375 for a top 15, $425 for a top 10, and $500,000 for a top 5 finish. If he gets into a tier 1 non-CFP bowl, That is Pop-Tarts, Tax Slayer Gator Bowl, or the Duke's Mayo Bowl. He gets $350,000 for that. So just, hey, okay. Bill can rack up a hefty sum of money next year if UNC is just sort of above the relevancy line.
We went through all the different coaches, remember, this year, and the bonuses they were getting. Cignetti got like $500,000.
Yeah,
that's right, $500,000 he got to get where they got. I think maybe all the different agents have the standard language, but good for Belichick. I am surprised. That was a bit of a red herring, though. I mean, people are going, well, what's going on there? But apparently no big deal. The contract is done. How many years at UNC, though, Carl? One? Yeah. Is some NFL owner going to come and break the glass and hit the emergency or the panic button next year for him?
Well, why wouldn't you? I mean, I just...
At age 74?
I know. And I just feel like, you know, whether he got aged out or not, or was told by multiple teams that had openings that they were not interested, which obviously happened. I do know for one team, he called. Well, the Jets were one of those teams. And, you know, they were like, and now we know, you know, they had their target, which was Aaron Glenn. Either way... it's a lot of money if he's successful, and you're right. What you're telling me, though, O, is, you know, you say relatively successful. To me, that's mediocre. Just, like, he can be mediocre and make a lot of side money.
Yeah, at the end of the day, he's going to be the same thing they've been doing at North Carolina because they never won a national.
Just a bigger name, I guess.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, they've had stars, individual stars that have come through that program, but the greatest thing they did was Mack Brown back in the late 90s.
That's right.
That's as good as it got.
So if he leaves before June 1st, it's a $10 million buyout. Anytime after that, it's $1 million.
Yep.
Mike. It's pocket change of these billionaire owners. It's pocket change.
It's a tax write-off.
Yes. So when you start saying, hey, is Bill available after June 1, I got to pay $1 million to get him where I want to get, that's nothing. We'll see what happens.
There it is.
I'm looking at it right now. It's been a while. It's been a long, long time. Getting back to 2015, Larry Fedora with 11 wins. So 10 years, the last time they won 11 wins.
It's a long time. We'll see.
North Carolina is like the ACC. And look, I don't know, Wes will get mad if he's listening up, but stately Drew Hamm manner, the ACC in football is just very top-heavy and very mediocre.
Well, it was this year for sure. There's no doubt. And I know everybody says, well, Miami should have got in. Yeah, I hear you.
All righty, guys. I still don't understand, like, the Baseball Hall of Fame to me, while it does have a lot of great players, we had a discussion yesterday about Andrew Jones not being in. The biggest beef I have is writers who, for whatever reason, they want to be that outlier to say, hey, I know everyone's going to do this, but I'm going to do that. Case in point, Ichiro Suzuki. Ichiro got 99.7% of the vote. Which means there was one writer who was like, nah, I'm good. I'm not going to have him on my ballot. One sole writer. There's only one guy in baseball history to get 100% of the votes, and that's Mariano Rivera. But Griffey didn't get unanimous. Jeter didn't get unanimous. Seaver didn't get, like, Maddox. All these guys who were just like, there's zero reason why they shouldn't have been a unanimous selection.
Surprised that Mariano Rivera got the, you know, just because to Oren's point, there's always some writer, well, technically he's only pitching to three batters in a non-lose scenario.
He works every 4 days.
Which is accurate. I never thought Rivera should have been unanimous, but he was. Because, you know, I know, Carl, you're a bigger baseball guy than I am, but I always felt like compared to the relievers, you know, that in the old days it would do the 2 1/3 or, you know, sometimes get a win, you know, like the Goose Gossage and Sparky Lyles in the old days and, the Lee Smith, all those dudes. But anyway, go ahead. I'm stepping on you. So who's this jackleg? Who's the jackleg wouldn't give the love to Ichiro?
We still don't know yet, but to his credit, Ichiro had his Hall of Fame press conference this afternoon, and he was asked about that. And Ichiro kind of like, hey, it kind of bucked him, I think, hearing this comment from him.
I was able to received many votes from the writers and grateful for them, but there's one writer that I wasn't able to get a vote from. I would like to invite him over to my house, and we'll have a drink together, and we'll have a good chat. Very, very grateful to be here, and thank you.
That was not through his translator. But, yeah, Ichiro's well aware that there's one guy who did not vote for him, yes.
Right. But that's cool. I mean, he lasted forever. Maybe that was the jerk writer's argument. Well, he played for 20 years. Of course he got to – I don't know. Guy was rock solid. You knew you couldn't stop it. You know, I mean, he's. I don't get it. That's why you and I, we go, I mean, we don't argue about it. I just hate these Hall of Fames, Orrin, because they're so subjective, you know, and there's size of market, guys who played for bad teams versus guys who played for great teams. You know, it just seems like it's always the goalposts, especially in baseball, are always moving.
The agendas come in, the biases come in, and all of a sudden it's no longer about the individual stats and the person. It's everything else but that. Mm. On that note, then, gentlemen, let's go ahead and get out of here.
Yeah, good job. Oh, I loved Ichiro's response. It's great. you know, when you have those guys, and Rivera, would you say he's the greatest closer ever, though?
Yeah, I mean, you can't argue with the percentage. It's just how the role changed.
It did.
And how, you know, the super specifics now of the middle reliever, the specific closer. But, I mean, again, a lot of relief pitchers, the greats at Cooperstown, didn't get to come in when the game – he comes in, the Yankees are leading, you know. Worst case scenario, it's tied, you know, in the top or the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah. Interesting stuff there. Oh, great job, man. Coming up, we're going to talk some dogs and where they are going to be thin as we get into the offseason. It's a room that they need to fill, and I think they'll, you know, have some adequate replacements, but it is an area of concern. Also, Brad Guzan's going to join us coming up in the 4 o'clock hour.
He's big. He's bald. He's a wall.
Brad Guzan. That's all on the way. It's Dukes and Bell.